This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
It's a real pleasure, actually, to follow David Lammy, who is, of course, a SOAS alumnus, today about integrating students with different cultural backgrounds. And when he referred to one of the prime parts of his experience being going to Harvard, I hope the other prime part was the period he spent as an undergraduate at SOAS. It's good to talk about integrating students from different cultural backgrounds. Just to say, I don't see myself or my institution as having all the answers, indeed having many of the answers, but I just hope you'll find this useful and that through the discussions we have during the day, by the end we'll have a better idea of how we might integrate international students, provide them with the best experience possible. I'm going to look at the need to create a multifaceted community where students feel comfortable in some respects, and because they feel comfortable, are able to be outside their comfort zone in some other respects. Because my view is that being made to feel uncomfortable is actually a key part of the student, of a good student experience. So being a student is not about being comfortable all the time. And then I'll consider some of the practical steps a university might take to achieve good integration. I imagine most of those will be familiar to most of us here, and certainly in the first session, speakers covered a number of these issues. I'm going to say a few facts and figures about SOAS to begin with, and this is not by way of an advert, although always an element of being an advert, but it's just to put what I say in context, because SOAS is a rather different sort of institution from most, and it's just important to understand that. Because SOAS has had the aim of understanding and so interpreting two-thirds of the world to the rest of the world, it's had to go out on a limb in its 90 years of existence to build up expertise in academic areas that weren't fashionable. And it's worked hard to combat the Eurocentrism of many academic disciplines. Now, I'm a psychologist, and my own discipline has often been only slightly unfairly characterised as the study of the thinking and behaviour of American undergraduates. And those of you who are psychologists here or know anything about it will know this is true. The predominant work in psychology is actually based on a particularly Western, a particularly American view. And that is one of the things that SOAS has sought to combat for many decades. So it means that SOAS has been internationally minded from its very inception. But it's been internationally minded in a particular sort of way. Being international in its early years meant being part of the imperial enterprise. It meant training missionaries, district officers, merchants, and to be honest, probably spies as well. And I'm not joking when I talk about that, since there are plenty of alumni who seem to have worked at one time or another for MI5. Just quickly, some facts and figures to put into context. We have a student population of slightly over 4,000, so we're a small university. That's relevant to how when we go about building a community. We have another 2,500 students roughly now doing distance learning. Annual intake is approximately 650 for undergraduates. Again, that makes us pretty small compared to, I should think, probably the smallest institution in the room compared to all the rest of you. We have a lot of postgraduates, so broadly speaking, we're about 50-50 postgraduate undergraduate. That also changes the kind of institution we are. We have a very high percentage of non-UK nationals in the student body. You can see 35% of our undergraduates, 57% of our taught postgraduates, 71% of our research postgraduates. It relates to that last question, actually, about what are we doing to encourage across the board British students coming into postgraduate study, because what we've seen over the years is a gradual increase in all these areas, but flatlining, and certainly in terms of the research postgraduates, that's just stayed constant in terms of students from the UK, and the others have been going up considerably. We're also very ethnically diverse. 46% of our students are from black and minority ethnic backgrounds, as are 30% of our staff. I think that makes us different. It actually doesn't make us different from a lot of other London universities, universities based in London, which have a similar sort of profile. Certainly very different from my previous institution, which was Exeter University, very much, you know, in the provinces, not so diverse, and so on. So diversity is absolutely key to us. I was interested by the comment of the NUS International Officer about that. We think this contributes a huge amount to the experience of all of our students, both inside and outside the classroom. Just to illustrate this with a quotation, this is from a student from Ireland, as it happens. Students come from a massive range of backgrounds. Discussions amongst friends often turn to academic topics. That's kind of reassuring, isn't it? It's a very engaging atmosphere to be in. And I think that notion of what it is to be in a diverse organisation, when you talk to students, and I try and make sure I talk to groups of students each year, when I ask them what they're valuing at SOAS, they normally say two things, one of which is the brilliance of the teaching, which is very nice to hear, and the other is the diversity of the student body. It's those two things. Always students talk about that. It's one of the reasons they're there. Okay, so much for SOAS. I think that's all you need to know. We're a social science institution, no engineering, no medicine, no sciences, all social science and humanities. Okay, so what do I mean by integrating students from different cultural backgrounds? This sounds a bit draconian, integrating students from different cultural backgrounds. It conjures up images for me of force-feeding international students scones and clotted cream. Excuse me, I might have spent too many years down in Devon, and sort of making them fit in with the way we do things here in the UK. Obviously, actually, a key part of the international student experience of being in Exeter was indeed eating clotted cream and scones, but that's not the same as forcing people to fit in. International students do need to understand, and in some cases adjust to, the academic culture here, how assessment works, the expectations of those teaching and mentoring them. But much more important for me is how we create an experience for all our students that draws strength and value from the diversity of cultures, views and backgrounds, so that the culture the students experience is an emerging construction that they're partly creating themselves. And I'll come on to the role of the students' union in doing that later. It's not something the university is imposing on them. It's a mixed, not a homogenous environment. So students can fit in different ways. But there is a stress on inclusivity and variety and learning from each other. And I just want to illustrate what I mean by talking about a kind of counterexample. So at my previous institution, on some of the programs in the business school, 95% of the students were from China. That's not unusual in some institutions and some disciplines. But what it meant was, whilst they're teaching and they're learning within English, for the rest, they were able to operate in a Chinese milieu and in Chinese language, and many of them did. That was the group of people they met, that was the group of students they were dealing with. They go outside the classroom, and they're instantly talking in Mandarin. Now, have we failed if international students spend their time conversing and socialising in their native language with their fellow countrymen and countrywomen? Well, in some sense, no, if that's what they want and value, and the overall experience for them, academic, social and cultural, has been a worthwhile one. But I do think it's a lost opportunity. And it's a lost opportunity for all students, whether they're coming from Britain, from other countries or anywhere else. It's much better for students if they get value from diversity rather than having groups of students maintaining kind of hermetically sealed groups. So what are we aiming for at SOAS? So you can see where I'm coming from is the key issue for me is that our students say everyone feels at home at SOAS, whatever their background. They feel at home socially, personally, so that means they're comfortable. But they also get the intellectual and attitudinal challenges they need, challenging their preconceptions, and they're exposed to a huge variety of views. So it's not just the academic staff that are challenging them, it's all the other students that they're meeting who come from very different backgrounds and who have very different views. So as I say, we want them to feel comfortable in some ways. Feeling uncomfortable is important because that allows you to go outside your comfort zone in others. If you're overly concerned about not feeling comfortable, not feeling at home, feeling homesick and so on and so forth, actually the last thing you want is an intellectual challenge on top of that. So our aim is to provide a transformational experience for our students so they go out very different from the way they come in. Okay? So this comment, this is from the International Student Barometer, and I shared the views of the earlier speaker that that's actually an excellent survey, we use it a lot, is music to our ears. Even though SOAS's facilities are not perfect, actually that's not the music to our ears bit, even though SOAS's facilities are not perfect, it still maintains a unique multicultural community and a real focus on Asia and Africa that makes it one of the most interesting and challenging places to study. It certainly changed my life. Now, again, I would say It's actually not a unique multicultural community. There are plenty of those in other universities. People at SOAS like to think that they're more unique, including me, than we are. But you can see what it is that students are getting out of it. The key word for me here is community. We're not trying to create an environment where students feel at home. We're trying to create a community with a strong sense of binding values. And so integrating students into that multicultural community is a crucial importance. So what does that mean? Well, what does that mean in practice? And I think when I go through what that means in practice, you're going to think, yeah, tick, 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 we do this, yes, that's kind of commonplace. And I think there is an element of that that is commonplace. And again, some of the earlier speakers spoke about this. But I'll go through them anyway. Pre-entry. A lot of focus nationally has gone into pre-entry improving applications, and that was discussed in the first session. We know that this is important, and there's been a lot of stress from our students about communication in that process, keeping in touch, and the need to maintain all the time things. I want to say something else about this. I think it's important at that stage, not to talk about communication in a general sense, but to think about what it is you're trying to do as an institution. So for us, we would say this is where we're trying to manage people's expectations. Because one of the things is, what are students expecting? Well, you don't want them to come expecting one thing and experience another. So we, just to give you one tiny example, one of the early sections in our undergraduate prospectus on, you know, why choose SOAS, and everyone has one of these, why choose University X, we say it is the place for those who want to widen their horizons and put preconceptions of Africa, Asia, and the Middle East to the test. That's a very gentle way of giving them this notion that come to SOAS, preconceived ideas and attitudes will be challenged, which happens at all universities, just a gentle way of kind of setting that in stream. Orientation, we've already heard about. The importance of integrating international students with home students from the outset has become clear in surveys we've done and was mentioned by David earlier. Up until a couple of years ago, SOAS used to provide an international students' welcome weekend and a welcome party, all these sorts of things, and the very clear message we got back was, we don't want to be treated as anyone different. Don't treat us as a separate group. We want to be integrated from the very start. So we replaced all this international students welcoming and all these other things with things that were faculty-focused welcome events, so that international students were with home students from day one. We still run an induction program, just focus on some of the issues of cultural transition and bank accounts. But the majority of induction is now integrated with home students. And I think that's been important to us. It's been an important message that our students have given to us. The orientation is run by the school's Director of Academic Development. That's important as well. They're the responsible group for providing student support. It introduces students to the staff who will be available to support them at the outset. That's also important. It stops them feeling that there's an office they go to. It stops them from feeling ghettoised. Incidentally, we do not have an international office. My previous institution did. We don't. We don't have students going to the international office. They go, whether it's to student counselling or finance, they go just with other students to get help and support. We don't treat them differently. We try as hard as we can not to treat them differently at all. That's also relevant to the issue of providing parity of support. So we try and do that as well. That's been very important for us, for example, in providing support with help to international students who are dyslexic. We try and make sure we provide them with the same support as we would home students, even though the kind of funding streams are a bit different. So you just go, and we do a lot of it. We seem to have a lot of dyslexic students at SOAS. We certainly provide a lot of assistance to it. Similarly, for careers advice, it's quite clear that they value careers advice, and we're introducing a careers advisor with an international focus. But again, that's not for international students. It's for students who want to work internationally, as lots of our students do. Lots of our students go on to work for NGOs who operate all around the world. So it's not a specific service for them. It's just recognising that it's a place they can go, as any of our students can, who want to work in China, say. So we can provide expertise on that. Okay, study skills support. We obviously provide a variety of that. One of the things we do is this one-to-one tutorials. And again, You'll see this as, you know, need help writing your SEO dissertation. This is a great service. I wish I'd had this when I was a student. Come along for a one-to-one tutorial, have your questions answered. This is for anybody. All of the things that you look at that we do for anyone. International students tend to make much more use of this than our other students, but it's available for all. And I think that's important. Okay. The other thing, provision of English language support. We think that's key. Again, I know most institutions do. We do that before the start of a program. We do it continuously and just in time during a program. And again, we work closely with the Academic Development Directorate with our English Language Support Unit. Again, so we've got this notion of an integrated support. Helps them from feeling, stops this notion of international students feeling ghettoised. You probably also appreciate the more international students you have, the less they're going to feel ghettoised anyway. If they're the majority of the students, why are they ever, it's just a diverse student body. And the last thing I want to comment on is the students' union. I can't emphasise enough how significant the students' union is. We have a really, really good students' union at SOAS. It's incredibly engaged. And all our surveys also make it clear how important the students' union is. I just want to give you one quotation from this. I admire how the representatives of the students' union take the role to gather us in to share the SOAS experience, both internal and external events and activities, physically and mental support through all stages, even partying during Freshers' Week, Halloween and so on. I've never encountered such an experience at my previous institution, where I did my foundation course and undergraduate degree in the past 4 years. This makes me encourage others to apply for SOAS. And we get, again, this feedback a lot, that our students find what our students' union do a really important part. And they do such a wide range of things. We obviously try and provide financial support for that, but it's through them. They understand the student body very well. So an active, engaged students' union, I think, is very important. What else do we have? Well, we have a radio station. Again, many universities do. Ours is called Open Air Radio, and it likes to think of itself as an alternative world service, and I suppose that is rather specifically SOAS. This operates a wide range of shows. It has a whole series of things. It has an African Essence, which is an eclectic music show. There's a great program called Soul System, which focuses on the best on Korean hip-hop. So any of you interested in Korean hip-hop, go to our open-air radio and listen to Soul System. That's, again, what's that doing? Well, it's introducing all students to Korean hip-hop. Why doesn't everyone know about Korean hip-hop? But it's also, if you're from Korea, then you can listen to some more Korean hip-hop. It's making people feel home, but extending people's environments at the same time. Our library is multilingual. Now, obviously, that's SOAS-specific, the fact that we have large numbers of books in Chinese, Korean, Swahili, and so on. But actually, given a shift to electronic resources, it's very feasible for students to have access to books, newspapers, magazines, TV programs, and so on, in Chinese. And you might think, well, surely they're coming to England, they should be studying English. Well, fine. But why won't they want to keep in touch with what's going back in China, or watching Chinese programs newspapers talk about what's going on elsewhere? It doesn't cost much to provide that kind of facility. What does it come back to what I said before? Making people feel at home so that then you can challenge them. But also giving a facility for your other students. Cultural events, again, universities all have these, exhibitions, concerts and so on, all international, all multicultural. So our current exhibition in our Brunei Gallery is called Being an Image in Asia and Africa. It's a thought-provoking, I can't say it, display of portraits. If you're interested in portraits, do go, it's very interesting. And the final thing, and this is definitely not specific to SOAS, is the importance of academic contact. This is seen as very important by home students. You pick that up in NSS results. But it's also valued by international students as a unique point of UK HEIs. Here's another quote. Quality of how people care about students here is very high. I can only compare this to my home country's universities, which don't offer any of the services offered at SOAS. The academic staff of my chosen courses are great, they're accessible in terms of discussion, and encourage the students to be critical and express their own thoughts. Compared to the coldness and worshipping of academic staff at German universities, British university staff are human and open-minded. Okay. Well, maybe that was too much of an advert for SOAS. I hope not, because I hope you can see how this is general across the board. It's the way I think about what integration means. What kind of community are you trying to create? And then how are you helping all your students, wherever they come from, be part of that community? And it's going to be diverse because students are diverse. Okay, but there's some issues left, and I just want to reflect on those at the end. The first is, I talked at the outset about what students have to adjust to. Academic standards, teaching styles, and so on. I think there is an adjustment. But there's also an issue about how far we need to adjust to the different expectations and values, beliefs of our students. And timetabling and public holidays are just one example of this. This has caused us some issues at SOAS. SOAS is obviously a secular organisation, but we run on a weekly and yearly timetable based on a Christian calendar. We close at Christmas. We close at Easter. Until very recently, we closed on Sundays. We don't anymore. Our largest faith group at SOAS is actually Muslims. That's true in many universities. They ask the questions about, well, why don't I have access to the library over Christmas? A couple of years ago, SOAS closed for 2 weeks over Christmas. I was astonished. I was actually quite pleased. It meant I got 2 weeks rest, essentially. But it was also an astonishing thing for us to be doing. And students were saying, well, we want to use the library. Why is it not available to us? A general issue there. Do we need to incorporate all the religious holidays into our timetable? Well, now we have a wide range of religious holidays in our calendar, so we know about them. But what do we do about it? Ramadan's also relevant. All these issues seem to me mean we have to think carefully about what we have to adjust to and what we don't. Don't have any answers there. Related to that is the question of which expectations we should meet and which we should try to change. Different learning styles are relevant here. Many students have experienced a much more didactic approach than is common in British universities, but we would wish to encourage a shift to a more student-centred approach, not to provide didacticism ourselves. So that's an area where students need to recognise what they're going to get. Parity of treatment is a big issue, and I think it's going to be a bigger issue. We get specific funding, of course, to provide support for home students, for example, those who are dyslexic. We have bursaries that are only available to home students. Parity of treatment is an ongoing issue, and I think we have to approach this sensitively. There's a tendency for international students to feel that they're paying much larger fees than UK students, which they are in certain areas, and getting a poorer service. So that notion of what they're getting, what the funding is, and making sure that all students are treated equivalently, whatever their need, I think that's very important. And finally, I think the cuts in public funding for universities are likely to lead to a reduction in staffing. It's hard to see how else they can be dealt with. That's going to, in turn, lead to a reduction in academic contact. What's that? It's one of the most valued features of UK higher education. So continuing to provide fine academic contact will be important for all our students, and we have to find a way to ensure that we continue to do that through a period of financial constraints, which is going to be with us for at least the next 5 years, I should think. So, thank you.